All right. So for tonight, God has entitled this Great Visitation. Right? This is awesome. You guys have come a long way, and God's getting ready to do something really powerful. Now, we know that transformation is the act of changing in form, shape, or appearance, and it's a quality change, just like the butterfly. You know, when God told me he wanted me to name it transformation, I told Sister Nancy, all I see is butterflies. So we're going to have something with butterflies in it. But I never went and checked out why it was supposed to be butterflies. I don't do that. You know, God shows it to me, and I just believe him and trust him and go on, all right? So she told you what the butterfly was all about. It's all about transforming us, right? And then we spread the nectar, right? All right. So this is a great visitation. So then a visitation is a sovereign God of the universe breaking into history to change the destinies of people by either blessings or punishing them. That's what a visitation is. A visitation is the greatest challenge of cleansing ourselves inwardly. All right. Now this is where this is what he started saying. He said this before I did the others. But anyhow, heads up, for I am coming with a great visitation to bring you up hither. Why? So we can explore together the mysteries of my heavenly kingdom that no man has yet explored. I want you to listen to what God's saying to us tonight. Heads up, for I am coming with a great visitation to bring you up hither. Why? So we can explore together the mysteries of my heavenly kingdom that no man has yet explored. Many are going to be amazed at what they see and hear in my heavenly kingdom. I need to bring you up here so I can teach you the truth of my kingdom instead of the fairy tales that are being taught by the peoples. I want to stop there. Now I know why God had me keep saying we just need to go to heaven. Remember, I was on a little toot about that, wasn't I? And now I know why, because God was bringing us to this place, and he was trying to get us excited about living in heaven, going to heaven back and forth, because he needed us to be excited about that for this hour. Yeah. He says, children, it has been a long time coming, but it is finally here, and you are part of the army that I will use to bring about the great signs and wonders. The miracles will far exceed even your wildest imagination. Now, you have to understand, this is a revival for this church, all right? Anybody else wants to enter in, so he's talking to you. And if you're here tonight with him, he's talking to you too. God goes on to say, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty of this great visitation. This is not the first time that I have extended the request for you to come up hither. But this time, I thought this was neat, I already know those who have genuinely accepted the call to come up hither, and it is those that I am zoning in on at the present moment. Awesome. These are the ones that have courage beyond courage, and they are in tune to my voice, and they are totally committed to me in every area of their lives. Are you listening to what he's saying to you guys? These committed ones have been seeking my face for this great visitation, and now it is at hand. These will come up into my heavenly throne room, receive their orders for the day, and then proceed back to earth. Are you listening to what you're going to be doing, guys? Don't pay attention to her. This is more important. All right. Their visitations with me will be many, seeing as how they will need more than one great visitation to fulfill all that I am placing before them to accomplish. So you're going to have a daily visitation with the Father. Many have said they want to come up hither, but that is not the truth of the matter. Now, this is important, too. They only say what they think I want them to say, and they certainly do not want to face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with the false presumption that they put forward. So some are not genuinely wanting to go up there. They're just agreeing with everybody else because they don't want to stand out. God says, but you, my children, on the other hand, have weighed everything out, and you have looked at the event from every vantage point, and you have determined that here am I, Lord, use me, fits you to a T. That's what you believe. When you said, here I am, Lord, use me, that fits you to a T. That's you speaking, all right? That's what you're thinking. Now, the Gallup polls are in, and the score is Christian 0, enemy 100. But that is all about to change, for my people, my remnant, few, have determined that no matter what the cost, they are going all the way, and because they have determined that, they will in turn bring many lost and dying souls with them into eternity. Now, with all the teachings we've had, and even this week, isn't that what you've been doing, weighing everything out and going over what God's been saying to you and determining what you're going to do? Luke 14:25. Now, great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his brother, father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him." See, he's talking about you weighed the cost. "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." That's why I said, that devil's not making me quit for nothing. Amen. "Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." What is God saying? He doesn't want 90% of you. He wants 100% of you. Then he goes on to say, "The greater works that my word speaks about is all about reaching every heathen nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My son did not minister to all nations, and my word tells you the end will not come until all nations are reached." So there we know what the greater works is. Now John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That came alive to me when I typed that early this morning. We need to believe that God is going to do what we ask for in order to receive it. And Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Yes, the end, and then God says, yes, the end will surely come, but before it does, there is so much work that must be accomplished, excuse me, in my house and on the streets. Read that again. Yes, the end will surely come, but before it does, there is so much work that must be accomplished in my house and on the streets. Every city must be inundated with the gospel. Every child must hear that Jesus loves them, if only one time. But they must hear those words. They must be told that there is a heaven to attain and a hell to shun. Every child must be given the opportunity to receive or reject their Maker. All right. He went on to say, "I am making a way for that to happen, and I need you that are willing to travel across these United States to go and spread the word of truth to every nation. Some of you will have the privilege to speak to kings. Some of you will have the opportunity to speak to dignitaries all over this world and share my son Jesus with these peoples." Now, before I send you on this journey, you will have your own one-on-one personal encounter with me, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're not going to go in somebody else's coattail. You're going to have your own personal one-on-one encounter. "You will be like Moses, and we shall speak face to face. You will see the smoke arising, and the mountain where you stand will shake, and my mighty countenance will fill the atmosphere as we speak together." Just like Moses, once you have this encounter, you will go. "Wherever I send you, souls will be saved. When you speak, the atmosphere will shift, and my glory will descend upon the peoples, and they will cry out for salvation." Are you listening to what God's saying is going to happen through you? My kingdom authority will go with you wherever you go, and the angelic host will go alongside to assist you in the signs, wonders, and miracles that will occur on a regular basis. Now, I want to stop there because, you know, before I ever started my ministry, right after I was born again, I had an encounter with God, and I've told this before, I'm going to tell it tonight. I was kneeling by my bed and prayed, and when I was finished praying, I jumped into bed, and a light come through my bedroom window, and I heard a voice say, "Get out of that bed and kneel down again." Well, I immediately jumped out of bed and knelt down because it scared me. And the next thing I knew, I was up in the heavenlies looking down into my bedroom, saw my husband laying there sleeping, and I was kneeling beside the bed. Now, what happened from then on, I don't know. But my ministry started right after that. So I had my one-on-one encounter with the Father, and then the ministry started. So each one of you, and I really, every time I've ever gone away, I don't know what happens when I go. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you right now, you will have this one-on-one encounter. Because God just said so, did he not? Exodus 19:16 says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." You hear that? When you speak to God, God is going to answer you. But God spoke to me many years ago and said, "Daughter, watch for the thunder and the lightning." Now, I typed this, and then God prophesied this next part, all right? Right then and there. But I just wanted to tell you that God told me to watch for the thunder and lightning. So this is what God said when I typed that. "For I will be in the thunder and the lightning, and I will speak to my remnant ones, and I shall instruct them in the way they shall proceed from this moment forth. My peoples have been waiting a long time for this great visitation, and now that it is here, they cannot walk in fear of seeing me and hearing my voice as it thunders across this land of plenty. I have placed each remnant one in their own unique place, and they must remain in that place of authority. They cannot step over into another's place of authority, for if they do, they will be consumed by me." In other words, keep your nose in your own pot. And you let everybody else worry about what God's doing with them. Amen? God's anointed you for what he has you in, and he's anointed the other person for what they have, and you shouldn't be stepping back into each other's territory. Then God went on to say, "Just as Moses was the only one allowed on top of the mountain to speak to me, in this dispensation of time, not everyone will be able to climb the mountain and stand face to face with me and speak. Only those with clean hands and pure hearts will be able to ascend to the mountaintop. I have set you apart, remnant ones, to come up hither. Climb the mountain and speak with your Father. As you read about how Moses and I spoke, you will understand how you can speak with me." And you can read Exodus chapter 19, how they spoke. "My children, understand the importance of the hour, and understand from whence you came, and understand just as I used Moses, who murdered his brother, I desire to use you just like I did with Moses. I took Moses to the backside of the desert where he learned all of me and my ways, and then I brought him forth to lead my stubborn, rebellious children out of bondage into liberty. I have been bringing each of you in off the backside of the desert, and I have been putting my glory upon you, and I am ready to send you forth to conquer on all sides. Are you ready for the street revivals that are breaking out all across the land? There are those of you who have been designated for this purpose, and I will send others with like spirits and hearts to work alongside you. For all this will be a demanding works. Just as the people thronged Jesus and sat at his feet to hear his words, they will do the same with you. For I am placing a hunger in the peoples who live on the streets for something new. They are sick and tired of the old mundane lives they have been living. I am visiting certain ones, and they are understanding there is more to this life." See, he said, "I am visiting certain ones," not everyone, but certain ones, you on the street. and they are understanding there is more to this life than what they are living. When you now take the gospel of love and forgiveness to the streets, it will be like icing on the cake, and then you will see the harvest of souls like church history has never seen. All right? Luke 8:40. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying, but as he went, the multitude thronged him, and as Jesus went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman, and where was he going? He was going to Jairus' house, okay? Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now this is the part I want to get to, but I had to read the rest of it so you understand what was going on. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude's throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." I'm saying, how did he know this? And he said, "For I perceive power going out from me." Now, this is a little testimony that I wrote. When I was first born again, I was sitting in church. The pastor was preaching, and the pastor's husband walked by me. And when he did, I felt something leave me. And he started yelling and dancing all over the church. After the service, he told us that he had always wanted to dance in the Spirit, and when he walked by me, something hit him, and he started yelling and dancing. All right, the point of this testimony, like Jesus, we will perceive power going out of us. We will be doing the mighty greater works with angelic assistance, and all will know that we have, first of all, been on the backside of the desert, but now we are standing on the mountaintop getting our orders from God the Father. I'm here to tell you tonight, every time God wants to do something to somebody, you will feel something leave you, just like Jesus did. You will know that you know that you know that something has left you. And as I was typing this, I got to thinking about the different people I've met, you know, laid hands on, you know, spontaneously. And, all right, so a girl came into my home. She was in a very terrible truck accident, and she just came to visit, and she was walking down the hallway, and I happened to come out of my bedroom, and I went to go by her, and I heard, "Pray." So I dropped to my feet, because her legs were all sort of mangled-like, and I just said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," and I got up and kept on walking. She went about her business and left, and she called the next day screaming and carrying on with the person that lived in the house she came to see. "My legs are healed, my legs are healed." See, what happened was an angel was there, and I had to drop and do the praying so he could give her the healing touch. But and I got to thinking about this, and every time God's ever used me that way, I'd be doing something else, but all of a sudden I knew I had to pray for somebody. Didn't touch them, but had to pray for them. And every time a miracle occurred. So you have to have your spirit man in tune to this so that God can use you in any given moment. And this is on the streets too. In any given moment on the streets, you know, you all of a sudden, you know, God wants, you know, there's an angel there nudging you. And he wants you to do something so he can perform the works that God wants done. Because God told me one time, anything you place your hands to do, I will accomplish it. So that means I don't care if I'm praying for, I just walk up to you and say, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." God's going to accomplish that through that healing spirit. Are you listening here? And you don't have to labor when you're working with the angels and with God. It will just supernaturally occur. You need to understand this if you're going to be taking heavenly trips and doing the thing that God wants you to do. You will say things that you have no idea, you never even thought of it, but they pop right out of your mouth. All right, let's read Psalm 121, verse 1, a song of accents. This is what you should be saying. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from the time forth and even forevermore. That should be the scripture you're standing on from this day forward. Because with what God is calling you to do, you're going to have to know that you know that you know that your God is in control. And he's the one that is ordering your footsteps. God wants you to get ready for these glorious visitations, these great visitations that he's going to do with you people. You are going to be going to taking trips to heaven, and you are going to be instructed by the Father, and you will come back and you will share what you learned while you're up there. Now, that was all that God spoke, and this is what I said then. Church, this is where we are at. God is our refuge and our strength. He leads, guides, and directs our footsteps. Now, I looked up divine visitation because I'd read a lot about divine visitation. And it says divine visitation is when God made himself becomes a guest of a human being. It is always a great honor for a human being to play host to God. It is a desire of God to visit his children every now and then. God's visitation carries two things with it, either bless or to bring judgment. We know we have already been under judgment, purging, sifting, and anything else you can name, right? So now we are going through the blessing with this great visitation that God's talking about tonight. Now, if you really get into Word and read the Word, God was always visiting his special people. I heard the word peculiar people. And when he visited them, it was always with a blessing, and it was always with instruction. And this is what God is wanting to do to this church in this season. He wants to give you visitation after visitation. And you know, if angels could come and go into people's bedrooms and say, you know, evangelists in their bedroom, sit in their bed and tap them on the leg and said, get up, you know, and then sit there and give them instructions from God, then he can still do the same thing today that he did then. All right. Now, if we're working in the greater works, we might have a legion of angels or a host of angels in the bedroom, but we only need one, right? I want you really to get excited tonight. Just worked up, but I want you to get excited in your spirit, man, knowing that this is God speaking to this church, knowing that God is now ready to use us in a great and mighty way. When God visits, that's where I'm at, right, Nancy? When God visits, especially to bless, it comes as a pleasant surprise. It would be a pleasant surprise to get blessed right now. Amen. A time of divine visitation is a period of meeting God and discussing all our issues with him, or a time when all our expectations are delivered to us. And as I went over everything he taught all this week, this is what he's been doing. He's been talking to us. And when God visits you, everything about you changes for better. Isn't that what he's been doing this week? Now, when God visits, past promises and prophecies are turned into reality. Tangible results are seen. That's how you're going to know when you have a visitation from the Father. When God visited the earth through the birth of Jesus, prophecies given hundreds of years before were fulfilled. So I don't care how long ago God prophesied something to you, it's going to be fulfilled now. All right? Divine visitation is the answer to every form of frustration and stagnation in your life. Every divine visitation always culminates in supernatural manifestation. When God steps into any difficult situation in your life, his mighty acts, signs, and wonders are inevitable according to what he just spoke to us. The result of divine visitation. When God decides to visit his people, there are some evidences it produces. And these evidences are what we call the result. The results of divine visitation include a supernatural manifestation. Divine visitation always brings supernatural manifestation. When God steps into any difficult situation which human beings thought are impossible, miracles, signs, and wonders follow. One night he talked to us about doing the impossible, right? All right, and then next, restoration. There's always restoration. There's always salvation. There's always fruitfulness. There's always deliverance, healing, manifestation of the glory of God, victory, and miracles. These are the things that happen when you have a visitation from God. And God said we're going to have, and when as I've compared the two, divine and greater, the same thing. All right. But everybody instead of saying, so this, I got excited because everybody else talks about divine visitation, but nobody calls it, talks about the great visitation. So I was excited because God said to us, he's going to give us a great visitation. Amen. A greater thing. All right. That's why I brought this out. All right. It also brings judgment. Now, four ways we can provoke divine visitation is praise, prayer and fasting, walking in holiness and purity, and exercise violent faith. And all of this we've been doing, right? So God has been setting us up for this great visitation. All right, let's recap the revival night by night. On December the 15th, God talked about transformation. December the 16th, in the morning, he talks about transition. On December the 16th, in the evening, it was the call. And December the 17th was pure love. December the 18th was transparency. December the 19th was fishers of men. December the 20th, new day of remembrance. And December 21st, tonight, is great visitation. Now, as I was doing this, I heard this, and so I put it in for the day's word. But then as I was finishing up, God said, that was the word that should have went in the word. So I'm going to read it. I mean, it's going to be posted, but I'm going to read it. And here's what it said. He said, you are headed into uncharted waters, waters that no one has ever been in. In these waters are great signs, wonders, and miracles. See, I always used the word great. I am launching you into this journey because you have said yes to my call. You have all you need to enter into these waters. If you didn't, I would not send you. He equips you before he sends you. I don't know about you, but you know what? If you don't feel blessed, then you have a problem. Because God has shined down upon this church, and he has brought us to a place of wonder and excitement, and now we're going to have a great visitation. And the scripture I put down, it was Joshua 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. I think we've been lodging on the other side of the river. So it was after 3 days that their officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I hope you understand how peculiar you are with God. You know, we're supposed to be peculiar people. So I hope you understand how wonderful we are with God. I hope you understand that God is pleased with our wanderings in the wilderness. You know, we've been in the wilderness for so long now, but we did not give up. The enemy kept trying to trip us up, but we kept getting back up again, and we kept going forging forward. And the enemy worked really hard for last night, especially on the service. He wanted us to quit. He wanted me to get discouraged. But I said, by George, devil, I'm going on. You know, we have come thus far, and we're not going to quit. And God told me one time, let no man steal your crown. You know, so we can't let anything that the devil sends our way make us stop. We have to continue to go forward. If you read the Word of God about the great men and women in the Word, they went through a lot of persecution, a lot of pain, heartache, and tears, but they never gave up. They just kept on trudging forward. They just kept on saying, God, you're able. God, you're able. God, you're able. And you know, if God lives inside of you, then because God is able, you are able. And there is absolutely nothing that God intends to withhold from us in this season. I want you all to understand that you are going to have a great visitation from God. I want you to understand that you're going to be taking trips into the heavenly realm. And I'm hearing God saying he will be seated on his throne and he will give you a grand entrance. I'm telling you guys, you are blessed and not cursed. And we have gone through some of the dumbest messes in this church I've ever seen in my life. And you know, I said, God, you are good. Amen. He should have shot us all at one point, right? But him and his grace and his mercy, his long suffering, He brought us here to this point of great visitation, great signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I just think you're so powerful and so wonderful. Father God, I thank you that this is a divine truth from the Father above, and that Father God is sinking deep into your people's spirit tonight, and that we are covering it with the blood of the Lamb where the enemy can't steal it. And now I speak unto you great joy and peace. I speak unto you salvation like never before. I tell you a truth. I am the Lord God Almighty, and I am here tonight to fill you with myself so you can come and have that great visitation with me. I'm going to touch you in a special way tonight, in a peculiar way tonight, that will extend myself to you and that will pave the way for the great visitation that when I call you up hither, you will come. You won't have to work this up. I will just come one night and one day, 1 hour, 1 second, 1 minute, and I will pull you up into my heavenly places, and we will have our conversations, and then you will go back to earth, and you will proclaim liberty to those who are bound.